Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Dangerous Creatives podcast. This episode is an interview that Kristen was a part of on the Wildly Creative Life podcast with Brooke Schultz. And they chat about creating multiple streams of income as a creative entrepreneur. And Kristen is actually, this was an interview she did while she was on sabbatical last summer. So she kind of shares about sabbaticals and what that looks like for her. We hope that you'll enjoy, and you can check out Brooke's podcast linked in the show notes.
If you're trying to build your revenue with your creative business, one of the first things we recommend is to build your email list. And this can be just past clients. It can be people that are reaching out to you through your website, but communicating frequently with your book of business is so important for people to keep you top of mind, to hire you again and again, and to be able to connect with you and your business on a deeper level. So if you are not doing this yet, make sure you go and grab Flowdesk. You get 50% off your first year if you use our link. So go to flowdesk.com/c/dangerous or click the link in the show notes to get 50% off your first year with Flowdesk.
Well, hi, Kristen. I am so excited to have you here. Welcome to the Wildly Creative Life podcast.
Thanks, Brooke. I'm so excited. I always love having conversations with you about business and life. So excited to be here today.
Yay. So tell the people who have been living under a rock and don't know your story. I mean, I've already introduced you, your formal intro, but tell kind of how you got to this point.
Yeah. So I started my creative journey as a musician. I always thought I wanted to be a music teacher. So did the whole music school thing and got through it and realized that was not the medium for me, or at least I didn't really do anything with that professionally, and started doing mentoring. Like, I worked with teen girls and at camps, and I did all of these trips, and it's been interesting to see the through line of things, because it always was like trips and experiences, mentoring, and art. And so went from music education to mentoring, camps, things like that. And then I picked up a camera while I was in that job. And I feel like it's the same, you know, a lot of people have a similar story. You pick up a camera and you fall in love with it. And like, that was the art form I had been waiting for my whole life. You know, like, I got to hang out with people and photograph them and help them and connect with them. You know, it was just so fun. So that was kind of how I got started. And so now, you know, I can be like, I'm a destination wedding photographer. I've worked for 13 years and I mentor and I do all these really, really fun things that I'm so, so happy to do. But it's evolved so much over the years. And a lot of times just was like going for the thing that was so exciting at the time and pushing through a lot of fears around what people would think about me if I went for the thing that I wanted to do. So I would say that's most of the journey, is, you know, learning and relearning how to trust my own gut and my own passions and all of that, which I know you relate to as well. We have pretty similar, similar stories, I think.
Yes. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So you found yourself in a position where you needed to make money, and it wasn't just like, oh, this is fun now and I can kind of do whatever I want. And you were faced with, really needing to have the rubber meet the road. Can you take us there?
Yeah, totally. So through, you know, I shared that I was working at, I was doing mentoring, which was working at a church. So I was in this nonprofit, give all you can to people, don't charge for it, you know, like give. I was in, definitely had been in this community for a really long time. And so my spouse was also in a ministry position, and we just weren't really making things work. And so a lot of the pressure fell on my photography as I started going to like be the thing that brought in money, and dealing with the kind of shame around, am I allowed to charge for this? Because I'm still in this community that expects me to just give everything that I do for free, you know? So moving through that segment of my life where I was like, these people say they really care about me, but they're upset when I charge for something, but also I need to pay our bills and life is really stressful. So, you know, I had really struggled with money. I'd really struggled with this, like, you're a bad person if you want to make it, or if you focus on that or any of that. And just in my story, we ended up, me and my partner at the time, both ended up kind of detaching from that faith tradition that we were in, which meant the loss of a job, the loss of a community. Mm-hmm. So again, like having to kind of rebuild the ground underneath us while I was also in a creative career. And so it all happened at the same time. It was like the security went away, the relationship went away, the faith tradition went away. And I was left kind of like, I'm going to be on the street somewhere if I don't figure this out. Yeah. And all of that also coincided with, you know, I had a miscarriage, had my son, and then my dad passed away. So all of it, I think a lot of us have these moments where everything happens at the same time and you really have to make a decision going forward. So anyway, I found myself as a single mom of a young kid having to make my career like really grow. And even before that, I had started to make really big moves in my business. I think it, you know, went from 20,000 to 80,000 or something like that while a lot of this stressful stuff was happening. And then really like leaned into turning up the dial after that, because I caught a vision of what you can do when you have the resources, the people you can help when you have the options, the creativity you can explore when you're not just worried about where your next meal is going to come from. And so anyway, I shifted into a whole different mindset of being excited about money and finances and pricing and business, because those things opened so many other doors that I was excited about.
That's amazing. So how did you get comfortable with that idea? How did you really catch that vision? Was it kind of an all at once aha moment, or would you say it was more gradual where you started realizing that money was not evil?
It was, I mean, I still work on it, right? Like I think when you're really deeply ingrained in a thought process, it takes a lot to change your belief system around something. And that was one that was really, really deeply built into me. And so I think like being around other people that were doing good with the resources that they had, people that thought differently than me, starting to even just see how me making moves was inspiring other people. I got to be kind of my own proof that life could be different, you know? But I do think the community that you have around you is so important.
Yeah. I think the biggest shortcut and the most underrated one that people think, oh, I just got to get a book and then I have to do all this mindset work and that it's done behind closed doors all alone. And it's so much more effective and fun when you're able to do it in community with other people. And it's so magical because it's like, it's just osmosis, like just being around people who have the results or the mindset or the output of creativity that you wish you had, just being around them, you make these quantum leaps.
Totally. And that was definitely what I experienced, because when you're around people and, you know, it all came from a good place, I really don't blame them, but when you're around people that are just constantly telling you, you need to like not be creative, not be big, not be excited, not be whatever, it's really hard to move forward. Whereas when you're around people who are just like, they don't even have that thought that someone should hold them back or that they should worry about what someone else thinks about them moving forward, it inspires you too. And so it's fun, you know, it feels weird to say, but like, my former self's inspired by my future self, because I never would have done stuff that I do today 10 years ago. And so I think it's fun to see how those shifts really do pay off in so many different areas of your life too.
Yeah. And what a beautiful celebration to think about your former self and how inspired and proud she would be of your current self. I think as entrepreneurs and creators, a lot of times we tend to focus only on the future. And I think that's a gift that we're able to have a vision for the future, and you can't move forward without that. But I love that idea of celebrating through the lens of your former self. That's beautiful. Will you tell us how, like, what were your first steps into these different communities? Because when you're in that place where you're really stuck, whether it's with money, whether it's with creativity, your business, whatever it is, then it can feel very impossible to you're like, how do I find these people? Where are these people, these magical different people that have the different mindset or that have the results that I want? And how do I get in the same room with them? So what did that look like for you?
Yeah. At the very beginning, when a lot of this was happening, I did actually physically move, which mm-hmm. I remember at the time someone said, you can't heal in the same place you were hurt. Mm-hmm. And I actually really believe that, because I moved like an hour outside of my city and met a whole new group of entrepreneurs and creatives and people who had moved, like, you know, we'd moved to the small town because it was a lower cost of living and it was this cute little artistic community. And people just were so excited about what they were doing and kind of out of the rat race a little bit. That definitely wasn't the first thing. I think while I was in this time of changing and transition, I started booking coffee meetings with people, like totally doing the thing that everyone's afraid to do, which is cold emailing people or Instagram messaging people. And I still,
I'm obsessed with this right now. Keep going.
Oh my gosh. I know. And I'm in a season of life where it's a little harder to do. Like, I'm homeschooling a 7-year-old and I just have less time to meet with people. But during this time, I was like, Thursdays, I'm going to try to meet with as many people as possible. I would just cold DM or like send someone a message that I'm like, I really like watching you on the internet. Like, you're inspiring. And I also started noticing the people that maybe I used to be jealous of, or that like I would see their Instagram posts and get triggered or whatever. Mm-hmm. I started turning those people into inspiration. Yeah. And like, I know if I meet this person, there's no way I'll be triggered by them. I'll be mm-hmm. so excited about their yes. story. I'll be so proud of them. So those were probably the two things, like the move. And then every Thursday I met with new people, and you get to get out of the screens a little bit and see like what people are really dealing with, what they're really excited about. You never know where a connection might lead, and you never know where a friendship might form, you know? So yeah, those are two. Obviously I still do a lot of that. I travel all the time. I want to meet new people everywhere I go. I just think that the voice inside our own heads is always going to be the most critical and the most closed-minded, and we have to bring in other voices to expand what we're doing.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I think that's so wise, because imagining myself in a similar position where it's like, this is go time. It's now or never. I have to make this work. I can envision myself getting in a very hustle bro energy where it's like, I got to learn everything about online marketing, or like, I have to put together 17 amazing funnels, or like this or that. And I love that you just were like, it's about people. And I can't do everything because I've got all these other things on my plate, but every Thursday, here's what I can do. And I'm going to swallow my own issues about being that person that's cold DMing, but like that audacity and that willingness to be scrappy and messy, but at the same time, not be super frantic, I think is, I want to color over that with highlighter and have everybody who's feeling frantic or pressured to just slow down and pick that one thing that you can do that will move the needle. And it's always related to people. And so, you know, whether you do it with meetings or you do it in a different format, doesn't really matter. It's the energy with which you approach it. So that's incredible. So everybody hearing you right now is like, gosh, she's just killing it. She's doing all the things. So you mentioned to me that you are on a sabbatical currently, and this is something that you've done before. Tell us about that, because I know that many people listening are like, I wish I could take a break, but I cannot do that. So tell us more.
Well, let me kind of paint a picture of me beforehand. Okay. So you've heard, you know, single mom coming out of this tough situation, a lot happened. I am definitely naturally a workaholic. I get that dopamine hit from those likes. I won't deny it. Like, every time someone pays an invoice, it can be like, woo, you know? So naturally I just want to be hustling and working and things like that all the time. I realized in a lot of that space, a lot of that transition and that healing time for me, that I was using that to distract myself from things going on in my life. And actually, when you stop running away from the things that are trying to yell at you to like pay attention to them and you actually just confront it, it's never as scary as we think it's going to be. And so I've done this a few different times in my life. And one of the ways I've done this is through creating a sabbatical for myself, which I'm not the first person to do this. Actually, someone I work for a lot, that I do photos for a lot, Michael Hyatt, is like such a big fan of the sabbatical. So I did one in 2020 or 2021. Did one in 2021. I was running a really big coaching program and doing weddings. You know, we were all doing all the things. And I was like, everyone's getting a sabbatical because our mental health is obviously struggling. We planned the whole year for it. We communicated to all of our clients that we were going to be doing this. I paid my team to take the whole month off. We just like, we set ourselves up to do that. And I think even before I did it so organized, I had done it in different ways before that too, of just like, hey, in July in Nashville, that's where I live right now, is like, July in Nashville is so hot. I actually don't want to be or shooting weddings or like taking work that's outside is so stressful. Or I would just be sitting there at my desk being like, why is no one hiring me? Cause everyone's on vacation. Oh my gosh, everyone's on vacation. And so when you like start realizing that other people are taking these like time or there's little lulls in your booking process or your work, whatever, like make that your own break, you know, like take that as an opportunity to go and see something different in the world or to like even just change your habits for the month or for a couple of weeks if you can't do a whole month. So, you know, when you're a photographer or when you're doing something that's kind of gig based, it's really just creating the intention ahead of time of like, okay, I do 10 weddings or, you know, now I do 5 weddings. I'm just not going to book any of them in this window. I'm going to book them on these other times. I'm going to trust that if I say no to the ones that are right in the middle of the time, I'm trying to be really intentional about that, more will come. And yeah, I get it. It's terrifying because I did develop that like safety mechanism of workaholism when I went through a lot of that stuff of like, I know that I can control something because I can work harder. And I actually think kind of leaning into that softer side of like the really beautiful things in my life come when I stop and give attention to stuff that I really need to be giving attention to.
Yeah. I think we're so addicted to this story of work hard, achieve much. And then when we look back on life, Bronnie Ware, she wrote a book called The 5 Regrets of the Dying. And she was a hospice care worker and she studied, you know, these people who are on their deathbeds. And one of their top 5 regrets was, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Yes. And isn't that so poignant? And it's so funny that that's the constant narrative that we're running around with. And yet when we look back, even just on life at this point, what you said, that the most beautiful moments aren't the ones that were these moments of triumph of like, I worked hard and look at me. It's about that slowing down and that presence and that the real juice of life, the random little things or a vacation or So I love that so much.
Or, I mean, even before seeing people do it in like entrepreneurial circles, I would travel to France. And I'm like, Europeans take August off. Like it is a very normal part of their culture to go and travel and see other parts of the world in August. The French work like a 30-hour work week and like just enjoy their life. And so I think that's another benefit of travel is not everyone does life the way that we do here in America. And I think that you can really set your schedule based on your values and surround yourself with people that have similar values. And you can just create a really beautiful, you know, world around you that way. You know, I think the fear is like our business will burn down if we're not giving it our 100% attention, which I just haven't found to be true. I mean, build the automations, but also I put this on Instagram yesterday. I was like, I book my dream clients when I'm on vacation. There must be something in the energy. People are like, she looks fun.
Yes. It's like, we laugh, but it's so true. It's so true. I feel like all my biggest sales bookings, et cetera, do not come when I'm at work. They come other ways. And there is something to be said for like a sowing period and then a reaping period. And maybe you're reaping when you've sown at your desk other times, but That's so lovely. So tell us more about like multiple streams of income and kind of not putting all your eggs in one basket in the freelancer gig, entrepreneurial vibe.
Yeah. So I preface this by saying, I truly believe everyone is different and there are different categories of the way people work and the, like the way we engage with our own energy and the way that we, you know, mm-hmm. function best. For me, the idea of, you know, I'm primarily a wedding photographer. So I have 15 spots. This was a few years ago when I started building multiple streams of revenue. 15 spots. If I don't book one, I have not met my financial goal. You know, like the margins were so tight. And so every inquiry that came in, if it didn't book, it was like a huge hit to my, I don't know, everything. I felt so insecure. I felt like maybe this is not the thing. This is all going to burn down or whatever. So I put a ton of pressure on each of these inquiries and then felt like that let down if they didn't book. And I think that that's a very normal thing to do because yeah, you see the potential of the money and then the potential of, and then it just goes, you know, it's just like gone. And so I found for me that when I had a couple other things that were going too, then I could take my attention and kind of like take it from one thing to the other when I started that frantic cycle of like, oh my gosh, this dream client, Brooke, she came in, she didn't book me. I must be the most horrible person. But if I had this other thing over here that I was also excited about, it was kind of like I could do this little bit of a shifting my attention. So I wasn't like squeezing all the life out of either thing that I was doing, yes. You know what I mean? Yes. Uh-huh. So some of the things, and again, I look back to this like single parenting phase of my life because it really did feel like survival mode, but also all these beautiful things came out of it because I just like, I let down a lot of the fears, something about getting divorced when I had been super, super religious, something about that broke a lot of the bonds of like, what are people going to think of you? It was yeah. like, well,
they're already thinking the worst. So it's all good.
They already think poorly of me. Yeah. I'm assuming in my head. So what yeah. the heck, like, let's yeah. try this thing. Mm-hmm. So we kind of work on like this when we're coaching people. Now we work on this four pillars of a creative business, which was developed from this time. Cause I had a retainer client. And so let me tell you, if you are any kind of gig person, and but you're like a security is the most important thing to you, which it was for me at this time, a retainer client can be so beautiful. So the way I got this is I had a relationship with someone, I'd been doing some like shoots every once in a while for them, and I wrote out a pitch for a year-long retainer, and I knew what they might want and I knew what their needs were. And I asked them what some of their needs were, gave them a couple options. I think they said no the first time I pitched it, and I came back and I pitched it again the next year. And so this was a
With tweaks. Did you pitch it with tweaks or the very same package, basically?
I think I pitched it with tweaks, or I was like, hey, are you interested? I know you said maybe later, like, would you be interested in talking about this retainer again? I still have it in my notes app because I remember I like typed it all out and yes. I had what it was. And I was mm-hmm. like, let me send you what I'm thinking based on what I know of your work schedule. And mm-hmm. you can tell me if we need to change it. So, oh my gosh, huge fan of pitching. I don't know if you yes. do this, Brooke, but I'm just like, yes. pitch things to people, pitch things you're excited about. Like yes. people get on board when you're excited. Mm-hmm. So I pitched in this retainer client. It was $2,000 a month. And so that was like 4 to 8 shoots a year or something like that. And man, that $2,000 a month, when you are scared about like, if I'm going to book that way, you're like, I'm okay. Yeah. And so if someone comes along mm-hmm. and they're mean to you on the inquiry, or you have this red flag in your head of like, this is not a good situation, it gives you that extra dose of freedom of like, I don't need this, you know? Yeah. And I think that's why I get passionate about talking about money, is I'm like, I don't want anyone to ever feel yeah. stuck in a relationship or stuck with a bad client or stuck with whatever. Yeah. So retainer, the big stars, which to me is the thing you want to be known for, like your weddings or your podcast or your like this big thing, the thing that you're excited about right now, is the big stars. Then we have the enhancers, which is anything that either of those clients might also need. Jay Abraham's big about being like, hey, one of the easiest sales you can make is to upgrade something for someone that's already working with you. They're already happy. They're already excited. And then the PJ profits, which this I think is the sexy one. Everyone wants a PJ profit. It's like passive income. It, to me, it's also the hardest to build. So I always say focus on the other ones first, build the PJ profits last, because you're, because like the passive income, it's never as passive as it seems like it's going to be. It's taken me 4 years to get my podcast to the place where it's making money. So it's like a passive income stream now, but I'm still working, you know, I'm still recording podcasts, still all of this. So anyways, those are the four pillars. And I think that it's so important to at least have three of those in your business, especially if you are a like security driven person, because you can then have a lot more freedom and choices in your business, which I think that we all need to really feel abundant, to really be thriving.
Yeah. Thank you for breaking that down for us. I think that's so inspiring and people can listen and see, okay, which of these pillars am I missing entirely or lacking in? Which one do I want to pour some more focus in? Because there's so much power in a clarity of focus. And I feel like anytime you're feeling that maybe frantic energy coming in of like, I need to make money right this second, then it can be really powerful to just look at those pillars again and just always come back to those. Okay, which one do I want to pour more into? And what's my timeline also? Because you might be able to, like you said, bring in one more quickly than another. And just that idea of enhancing something and giving somebody something that they already want, or upselling them, or selling to past and current clients. I think people overlook that all the time and are always thinking about new clients when that's the hardest climb. So you might as well just get the low hanging fruit first.
Totally. It is the hardest. And yeah, you brought up a good point. I always say, try to build one at a time. If you're like, I need to build all four of these, you'll feel just like a chicken with your head cut off. So build one at a time. Also, like, what are people already coming to you asking about? I had people coming to me for mentoring years before I offered it as a paid thing. So paying attention to what people are asking for from you, and paying attention to what kind of assets you already have in your tool belt. And I want to mention this, because during that time of healing and during that time of building, one of the very best moves I made was, like I said, this move outside of my city. The cost of living was so cheap. My house that I bought, I could buy with cash because it was so cheap. So the move of, I'm going to make some of these other pressure points in my life so easy so that I can have the freedom to do these other things and to build. Like, if I had been living where I'm living right now, where my expenses are so dang high and I was trying to build my business, I would be drowning. So just like, it's okay to also do your personal finance stuff, like pay off the debt, move to the cheap house, like do what you got to do to give yourself the space to build this thing. Like, most people can't build a business from scratch while they have $100,000 in expenses and are just like so stressed every week. So anyways, I want to throw that into of like, it's okay to make the quote unquote weird moves to give yourself space, and to people thought I was crazy for moving to this tiny town. And I'm like, you wouldn't think that if you saw my bills, because they are so low.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you. And I think sometimes we resist the entrepreneurial spirit that we have, or the creative spirit that we have, that naturally goes against the grain. Because sometimes with money, for example, we don't feel as confident as maybe our creative endeavor. And maybe in your creative endeavor, you're like, yes, I go against the grain all day and I make these weird choices and I don't care what people think. But then in something that you don't feel as confident in, if it's the quote unquote business side or money, then you're afraid to make those same against the grain choices, when really those could be the ones that unlock all the doors for you. I love that not only were your bills lower, that was where you met so many people that were able to help you heal and to propel you towards a different mindset. So that's incredible. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I threw that in right before. I was like, okay, check what people are already asking you for when it comes to what they want from you, but also look at your assets. So, you know, this house that I was able to buy was adorable. And so I started renting it out to other photographers. And that was another stream of revenue, is renting it out for photo shoots or renting it out for video shoots, we would just clean it up and leave for a couple hours. And that was also a huge, like, little boost. And so I know photographers that have made their guest room into a boudoir studio or turned their car into something that's like a quirky, you know, photo prop. So anyways, there's so many things when you start looking around that now when people are like, I don't have any options, or I feel like I can't make money, or I just can't make ends meet. I'm like, there are thousands of options around you. You just have to open your eyes to seeing them. And so that's why I like to give examples. I'm like, you already have 10. I promise you, you already have 10 options right there with you.
Yes. And we haven't even talked about, you know, digital assets that you have, classes that you've taught in the past that you recorded that you could turn into a course, or, you know, Facebook groups that you could then, you know, modulate into a membership, and, you know, like, a library of these old things that you recorded 4 years ago that are still relevant and still pertinent to what people are asking you for now. I mean, a lot of it is just compiling what you already have versus creating something new from scratch every single time. Like, don't underestimate the power of going through your archives and compiling things. And also, I mean, I can't even count the number of creative people that I talk to that are like, oh yeah, I have this huge pile of work that I haven't shared from last year or 2 years ago. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, don't bother, like, you know, running around frantic that you don't have something brand new to share. Like, you haven't even, you know, shared what you already have. So please, everybody listening, take this as a call to look at your, like, your current assets, but also what you've created in the past that you can repurpose, reshare, and just compile into something totally new that could be something that people are obsessed with. You never know.
Totally. I love that suggestion. And if you can't take a full sabbatical this summer, even going with what Brooke just said and being like, how do I make this summer easier on myself? I'm only resharing things I've already shared, or I'm only posting things that I already have done, or oh my gosh, no shame. I'm going back a few years ago and copying and pasting captions that I took a ton of time to write 3 years ago, and I'm reusing them because, like,
I do that all the time. Yes.
Totally. I was smart back then too, you know, like.
I love it. I feel like I was smarter back then because I was pouring a lot more of my energy into Instagram than I am now. So you might as well just repurpose. Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, you are a wealth of knowledge. I could talk to you forever. I'm so grateful for you. Will you tell everybody where they can get more of you, where they can work with you, and where they can just get more Kristen in their lives?
Well, I do hang out on Instagram a lot. I'm at Kristen Sweeting, so Sweet ING. And I also have a podcast, which I think if you love Brooke's podcast, you'll love the Dangerous Creatives podcast. She did a really beautiful interview on our podcast as well. So we'd love to have you over there. And yeah, we're always doing something. We're going on some trips next year. We'd love, you know, Italy, Turkey, Norway. We call them study abroad, Brooke, because I'm like, I did not study abroad long enough in college, and this is me chasing my 19-year-old self. So come study abroad with us or hang out with us on the podcast. We would love to have you.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. We'll have all these links in the show notes as well, but just at Kristen Sweeting, right? And then if you just Google the Dangerous Creatives or look for it wherever you get your podcast, it will show up right there.
Yeah. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
So fun.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Dangerous Creatives podcast. We're so thankful that we can deliver this awesome content to you each week, and we're so thankful for your support and that you keep showing up to listen. If you want to dive in a bit more, we have our membership that is open year round. We just launched a couple challenges inside of it, the Money Mindset Challenge and the Vision Challenge, and those are things you can walk through at your own pace. They're super fun and easy to get through, and also really inspiring if you're trying to make moves in your business. We have a monthly call as part of that membership too. So you get to join for a year, have community, jump in with a bunch of creatives, and also walk through the curriculum together. So if you want more information on that, you can check out that and all of our other offerings at dangerschool.com. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon. This episode was produced and edited by the lovely Jen Madigan Creative. Music for this episode was written and recorded by Chammy D. Thanks for being part of our Dangerous Creatives podcast community, and we'll see you again next time.
dance together one time. I want you to get together.